I'm reading a, book on aging. One of the paragraphs in the book said there was a chapter in there on humor, the virtue of humor when you get older. You're going to need it. But it said, I sure got old, had two bypass surgeries, hip replacement, new knees, fought prostate cancer and diabetes, half blind, can't hear anything quieter than a jet plane. I take 40 different medications daily that make me dizzy and winded and subject to blackouts. I can hardly feel with my hands or feet anymore. I can't even remember how old I am. My friends are all gone, but thank God I still got my driver's license. I like to run into him on the highway. I'm in Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. That's pretty good care, isn't it? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows.
Glory.
God chooses the least of all birds. Sparrows of no value. Got no beauty. You don't ever see one in a cage in people's homes. They're not pets. You don't ever hear of a talking sparrow. They're not found in pet stores. You don't go buy sparrow feed when you go buy bird seed. Sparrows are not good for food. They don't sing sweet songs. They don't have beautiful colored feathers. They're unattractive and they're a very homely bird. But God chooses this bird to express his providence.
Yeah.
He said, nothing's going to happen to that bird that I don't know about. They don't fly. They don't fall to the ground. They don't grow hungry without their heavenly creator knowing about it. They're not forgotten. They don't go unnoticed. They suffer not nor die without the knowledge of God. And then he says that you and I are much more valuable.
Yeah.
If he cares that much about a little sparrow, he watches that much about a little sparrow's needs, you don't think he don't watch everything about us? Providence, by definition, Lord, is the superintendence of God over his creation. That God just didn't create the world and then just sit back and fold his arms and just let it run its course. That's not what this Bible teaches.
Right.
God's the superintendent of his heavenly creation. To create something and not care for it is unthinkable. Completely unthinkable to think that you would create something and then just forget it. You ever watch a mother with a child? It's amazing to me how a girl can just grow up, and all of a sudden, when she has a child, all these motherly attributes just suddenly show up that you've never seen. They come from somewhere. You ever seen a mother with a child
She foresees the baby's needs without being told. Baby's got no way to tell her, I'm hungry, I don't like the way I'm laying, I'm wet. But yet that mother knows the needs of that child without that child expressing it.
Yeah.
She cares for that child night and day. She gets up in the nighttime. She gets up when it's dark. And she takes care of that child. She keeps her eyes on that child. She feeds that child when it's hungry. She holds it when it cries. She comforts that child when it hurts. Protects that child with her life. She talks to that child. Smiles at that child. And where did she get all that? She got it from God.
Amen.
That's that part of God that God just, he goes on, as we're going to say earlier, he's like a father with a son. God knows our needs before we ever express it. God cares for us night and day. He watches over us when it's dark and stormy. He feeds us when we're hungry. He holds us when we cry. He finds ways to comfort us when we're hurt. Protects us with his life. He talks to us. Smiles upon us. The same power that caused it to exist is necessary to continue its existence. You don't birth it and then forget it. God, we don't get born again and then God just lets us wander off.
Man.
Belief in divine providence is a great comfort. A great comfort. I fall in looking at divine providence, I'm going to fall so short in trying to explain or preach divine providence. Because it's too deep to understand.
Sure.
The permission of his providence, how you and I can look at this world and look at people we love and look at things and wonder how God allows that, how he gives permission for that. That's way too deep. His ways are not our ways. He doesn't think like us. It's far deeper than our understanding.
Yes, ma'am.
It's too mysterious for our knowledge. There's too many questions that people ask that there are no answers for. But I have a book.
Yes.
I've got a book that tells me that the very hairs of my head, he knows. I've got a book that tells me he counts every tear. I've got a book that tells me that I am more valuable than all the birds, and the least of all birds, the sparrows. I not only have a book, but I'm in my 67th year, and I can turn and I can look back down memory lane and go as far back as my mind can remember. And I can stand here and look, and I can say I can see the hand of God.
Yeah.
There are things that happen in our lives that you can only say, something had to help me. Something had to have done that. I see the hand of God behind me. I see the hand of God. I see the help of God in my life. Like all of us can. You look back down life, and you'll just say, God had to have done that.
Yeah.
I stand upon my Mount Pisgah and I'm looking over Jordan. I'm getting glimpses of the other side. Now that don't mean I'm getting tired of going back leave here. But I am getting glimpses of the other side because I got more miles behind me than I got in front of me. I'm looking over Jordan and I'm looking back at next year. I've been saved 40 years. 40 years that I've been saved walking with the Lord, and I can see him behind me. I can see it before me. You ever looked at a map of the Exodus journey? You ever look? Just look at the map when God saved and got those Jews out of Egypt. You ever just took a look on a map at that journey? That journey is all over the map. It's everywhere. From the time he saved them out of Egypt until they crossed over the promised land, that journey is not a straight journey. It's everywhere. They went everywhere. It's not a straight journey. It wasn't a smooth journey.
Right.
It wasn't a short journey. It was a generation. It took them a generation to get to the promised land.
Yeah.
It took them 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a safe journey. You can take Numbers chapter 33, and it has the whole journey in one chapter. They're leaving in Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 and 2, and by the time you get to 51, they're going into the promised land. And you've got, in that chapter, you've got every place that they stopped. It's a brief summary. It's an outline of the journey. God knew when they departed. God knew when they come out of bondage. There in verse 1 and verse 2. God knew in verse 51 when they crossed over Jordan. The providence of God knows when we start our journey. He went so far to say that the first month was Abib, and they came out of Egypt on the 10th day. He said, that day is going to be a memorial. He said, I never want you to forget the day that you come out.
Yeah.
No, when you get saved and you come out of darkness and you come out of those sinful lives, you don't ever forget that day.
Right.
You might forget the date, but you don't ever forget the day that you started on your journey to heaven.
Man.
Forget that day. That is one incredible day. I love preaching about it. Providence knows when they started. Providence knows when they arrived in Jordan. And Providence knew everything that happened between the beginning and the end. He records every place that they stopped. Providence knew. And so what God did between the time they left and the time they arrived, God gave them two things to help them. He gave them a fire by night. He said, I'm going to give you a light when it gets dark. You can have some light and darkness. When you can't see, I'll give you a light so that you can see.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll give you a light because, I don't know if you're like me, when it's dark, fear suddenly shows up. I just get scared when I can't see. And so what God did in that journey, he gave them a fire by night so when it got dark, they would have a light. Not only did he give them a fire by night, but he gave them a cloud by day. He gave them a cloud so that when it got hot, he could cool them off. He could give them shade from the heat of the day. Because God knew that when he brought them out, he knew how difficult the journey was going to be. When they came out of Egypt, the Bible says there were 550,000 men above the age of 20 years old ready to fight. 603,000 boys ready to fight. Now, if you gave each one of them boys a mama and a daddy, or a brother or a sister, that means 2 million people come out of Egypt. It's impossible to take 2 million people through that wilderness. When they came out, they didn't have no food, they didn't have no water, they didn't have no weapons, they had absolutely nothing. That whole journey was going to be by faith. They were going to have to trust God for everything in that journey. Here's what Moses said. He said, the Lord your God, which goeth before you. Now you talk about amazing thought. Moses said, well, the God
yes.
that brought us out is going to go before us.
Go before us.
He's going to know what's going on before you get there.
Yeah.
He knows where you're going. He knows where you're going to stop. He knows what you're going to face. He knows all your problems that you're going to deal with. He said, the Lord your God who spoke before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. He said, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son. He said, you know how God's going to take care of you? He's going to take care of you like a father takes care of a son. You ever watched a father take care of a son? I spent the day with my son today. For whatever reason, my son just can't put life together. He has a lot of difficulties mentally. And we went out and we went shopping and we went groceries and we went to the restaurant and we piddled around and we had a good time today, being with son. Amen. My son goes down to the library and he plays chess with a bunch of other men that show up down there. So after we had spent the day just enjoying one another, he wanted to go to the library. So I pulled up and go to the library downtown and I dropped him off on the street corner and he had his little chess set with him and I watched him walk into the library. And when he walked in the library, my heart just went with him. It just followed him right in. I could feel in my heart my son walking away from me. And as I drove away, I said, my son would have absolutely nothing if it wasn't for me. I have to take care of every need that he has. His rent, his food, his money, his clothes, everything. And when I drove away, it was like God said, and that's the way I take care of you.
Yeah.
Glory. I don't have nothing that God didn't give me. I don't have nothing that God didn't provide. Everything I've got, this is my 30th year. I stepped out on faith 30 years ago. 30 years, I don't have nothing that God didn't. He takes care of me just like I take care of him.
Glory.
He says, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in. You know what he told him? He said, God went before. He said, when you came out and started across that wilderness, when you were heading to the promised land, he said, I went before you to search out the place that I wanted you to stop, rest, and pitch your tent.
Yeah.
I know where I want you to stop. I know where I want you to stay. I know where I want you to spend some time.
Yes.
To show you by what way you should go. God said, I'm going to show you which way to go.
Amen.
Only God could have taken 2 million people and got them through the wilderness and took care of them for 40 years. Amen. The possibility of you and I living righteous,
hallelujah,
in a
glory,
wild, wilderness, wicked world is impossible without the providence of God. For you and I to live right in this world without the providential care of God, without the providential power of God, without the providential presence of God, is absolutely impossible. God has to help us, equip us, strengthen us, give to us everything we need to make it from the time we came out to the time we're going to cross over.
Yeah.
I looked at the places that they stopped. I was amused in Numbers chapter 33 at all the words that God uses for their movement. He said, they departed, they removed, they went, they encamped, they pitched. I mean, they never stayed in one place very long. But they stayed for just a little while, and then they just moved on. It was like every place that they went, a different situation they had to deal with. No place was the same. And you and I in life, from the time we get saved to the time we cross over, you know what then you do? We move from situation to situation to situation to situation. They're constantly changing. You don't ever stay in one place very long. God, we come into a situation, sometimes you enjoy it, sometimes you don't. If you enjoy it,
it never lasts long enough. And if you're not enjoying it, it's lasting way too long.
Yeah.
But God moves us from situation to situation. When they came up out of Egypt, the first place they stopped was myrrh.
Yeah.
Bitter water. They came out, and the first place that they stopped to camp was myrrh, which is bitter water. The whole situation at that place was bitter. They murmured. They complained. They didn't like it. They only stayed there a short time, and then they went to Elam. They went from bitter water to Elam, which was plenty of water.
Yeah.
The Bible said in Elam there was 12 springs, 70 palms, and oak trees. They stayed there for 43 days. 43 days of having everything they wanted. 43 days of shade. 43 days of water. 43 days of routine. They got so routine. They got up. They done the same thing. They cooked. They washed. And they got into all this routine. And what I called it when I read it, I said, that's a camp meeting. They were having a camp meeting. 43-day camp meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, they was enjoying the goodness of God. But they couldn't stay there. They had to move on.
Right.
So the next place they went was Rephidim. They went from bitter water to plenty of water to Rephidim. No water. God brought them. The Bible, Moses says that he went before them and he took them to these different places. He searched out where he wanted them to stop. So this third place they went was Rephidim, where there's no water whatsoever. Dry.
Yeah.
Dusty. Miserable, fearful. There they complained a lot, and there they murmured a lot. But not only was Rephidim a place of no water and dry, but that was a place where they fought Amalek. They fought Amalek in a place of no water, fighting for survival. You know what they learned in Rephidim? They learned the only way you was ever going to get through these difficult, hard, no water, difficult spots. That was where you had to lift your hands up. When the hands was up, you got the victory. When the hands was down, you got no victory. When they were looking to heaven, they were winning. When they weren't looking to heaven, they were losing.
Yes.
God taught them that in Rephidim, where there's no water. He didn't teach them that in Elam, where there's plenty of water and everything's going their way. He got them in the most difficult places that you could get them. Dry, hard, difficult. Now they've got to fight for their survival. It was there that they got water out of the rock. There he called them, I don't care how hard it is, you can get water in hard places.
Yes.
They didn't learn it at Eden. From there, they went to the next place that God took them and stopped was a place called Ar. A-R. The land of the giants. He took them to a place where now they're having to deal with things that were bigger than they are, larger than they are, stronger than they are, and God has led them to Ar. You see, salvation from Egypt and freedom from bondage did not guarantee them a smooth journey to the promised land. God saved them, got them out from under the taskmaster. They sang a song of Moses. They come out with a high hand. They come out shouting. They come out singing. But it didn't guarantee that everything was going to work smooth between them and the promised land. 40 years. A 40-year journey. God taught them to trust me. That was the whole point of it.
Yes, sir.
Trust me. Trust me for everything. Trust me when there's bitter water. Trust me when there's plenty of water. Trust me when there's bitter water. When they came out, if you look on a map, they were in the east, they was in the west, they went to the north, they went to the south. the Bible dictionary says in the east, it was called the region of the granite. It was all rocks and hard, painful walking. When God led them into the east, I don't know if you've ever walked on hard rocks, but it's not easy. It is painful to just walk on rock. But that's where he led them. The east was nothing but rocks. And the west was sandstone and very windy. And they had to walk with the sandy wind blowing in their face. They went from the west to the north, which was limestone, and the book said it was very dry. And from the north they went south, which is called the region of sand. And I don't know if you've ever walked in sand, but it will wear you out to walk in sand. We had a peanut patch. We had 200 acres of peanut patch where I grew up, and it was sandy. And we had to go out there and plant it and walk it and hoe it and harvest it. Walking in sand is just, I mean, it's your feet feel like they're about 100 pounds apiece. And this whole journey that they're going through was just pure difficult. Journey wasn't easy. Times without water, times without food, which means they just wasn't satisfied. You ever got grumpy when you get hungry? They started having dreams of going back. They said, this is just too difficult. This is too hard. They said, what am I doing here? Well, we just need to go back. Let's just turn around and go back. There were times that they didn't care about the place that they were at. God went in before them. He pitched their tents. He said, I want you here. They didn't like it. Times that they didn't like the people that they were camped with. Times they just wished they would die. They said, why died we not in Egypt? He brought them to this situation. He brought them to a place. And they said, I'd have died. Times that they just wanted to go back. In the 40 years, I read where they fought Amalek, they fought the Amorites, they fought the Moabites, they fought the Midianites. It just seemed like they were always fighting something. Always fighting something. But God carried them through. As difficult as the walking was, as difficult as the places they were in, he cared for them like a son. I don't care how hard it was, how difficult it was, how dry it was, how unsatisfied it was. God still looked at them like a son. He said, I'm going to help you through. I'm going to get you through. I'll get you what you need. Amen. He comforted them with food, water. He'd bring a cloud over when times just got hot. When they were in those places where it was dry, God just bring a cloud over to shelter them from the heat. He clothed them. He made sure that their clothes and their shoes never rotted off. And here's what Moses said. Yea, he loved the people and all the saints are in his hands. Regardless of where they were at, regardless of what they were having to deal with, regardless of the situation, he said he loved the people and he had them in his hand. You got to have a strong belief in God in the most difficult times in your life to believe, I'm still in the hands of God.
Yes.
He never blinked or took his eyes off them in that journey. And he never does us either.
Man.
Look at the people they encountered. We looked at the places, the people they encountered. They encountered King Herod. He fought against them. He took some prisoners. That's what the book says. He took some of their family members away. He took some of their friends. He took some of their children. He took some of their loved ones. He took some of their members. Well, that's the provision of providence. That God would allow that, but King Herod came and he took some of their family away. Then they had to face Edom. Edom refused them passage, resisted them, and refused to give them any help, and refused to give them any water. Even when they were in a bad situation,
person that could help them wouldn't help them. Wouldn't give them no help. You need water, I'm not going to give you any. They ran into the Moabites. The Moabites refused to help them. In fact, the Bible even says that the Moabites discouraged them in the way. That there will be people that will absolutely discourage you. It was when they were fighting the Moabites that Moses gathered them all together. And he says, let's sing a song. When those Moabites were discouraging them and refusing to help them, Moses said, let's get together and sing a song. So they all started singing that song. Oh, well, spring up. God helped them. He gave them a song in the night.
Yeah.
He gave them a song when it was hard. He gave them a song
yes.
when they were fighting. He gave them a song.
Amen.
And they sang until the power came down.
Yes.
Shahan, they ran into Shahan. More people would not suffer them to pass, hindered them, hurt them, halted them. Here's what Paul did at the end of his journey. When he's at the end of his journey, he writes a letter to Timothy. He's at the end of his journey, he writes a letter to a young man that's just starting his journey. Paul's ending his, Timothy's just getting started. So here's what Paul said to that young man that was just getting started on his journey to heaven. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. So Timothy, you're just getting started. I want you to know something. You're going to run into afflictions. You're going to run into persecutions. He said, what persecutions? I endured. He said, I endured everything that came my way. And he says, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Glory.
I want you to know when you get started on your journey, you're going to run into a lot of trouble along the way. But I want you to know, if you'll endure them, God will deliver you from every one.
Yes,
yes.
You know what that is? It's probably just God watching over his creation. Helping them along the way, just like he did the Jews in the wilderness. The Apostle Paul, writing his letter, said of the situation that he was in and the place that he was in, he said, I was in the deep night and day. It was deep where I was in. I was in there for a day and a half. In the deep, he said, I was going under. Do you know really what he was saying? When he said, I was in the deep, he said, God knew where I was at. So I was out there in that deep, I was out there in that water. He said, God knew where I was at. Nobody else knew where I was at. Nobody else knew what I was going through. God knew right where I was at. God knew what I was going through. God knew it. If he wrote about it, he said, God knew how long to leave me there. I bet when he come out, and I bet he said, thank God he only left there for a day and a half. Could have left him there a lot longer.
Yeah.
God knew how long to leave him. He said, God knew when to deliver me. That's what Paul said when he said, I was in the deep for a day and a half, night and day. Not only when he's writing this letter to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, I was in the deep. Now, he said, the distress I was in, distress, by definition, worries, burden of the mind and the body. The Philippian jailer beat me and bruised me. He said, I learned to do just like Moses did. You know what? I saw where Moses sang when it was difficult, and he said, I just started singing to him. So Paul said, Timothy, you know what I did? They beat me and bruised me. He said, sang. He said, God came to help me. He sang the power of the dangers. The Apostle Paul believed and preached that salvation is by repentance, by grace, without works. Paul not only believed that, Paul preached that. Paul preached that a sinner without Christ is going to be tormented through all eternity. Paul believed and preached that the scriptures were inspired by God.
Yes.
said the scriptures were inspired. God wrote the book.
Amen.
Paul believed that, preached that. Paul believed that the saints were going to get caught up into the air to meet the Lord.
Amen.
He preached that. Paul believed in the second coming of Christ.
Amen.
Paul believed in the sanctification of the believers. That God continuously works with us, watches over us, sanctifies us through all the situations in life to get us closer to Him. Paul believed in all that live godly will suffer. Paul believed that the Savior's super, that compassion, that love for a father like a son will get you through everything. And it's what Paul believed that kept him in trouble. And if you ever wonder why is there so much trouble, why does it have to be like it? It's what you believe that keeps you in trouble.
Yeah.
Paul believed all that, and that's why all those troubles came upon him. But then Paul said, "He delivered me out of every one of them. He delivered me out of them all." It's providence. Damascus, the government, not after him. The government desired to apprehend him. The government gets after you, but they don't get after you. Paul said, put me in a basket, got me over the wall. Said, I got out of that one too.
Yeah.
Demons jumped on me at Ephesus. He said, even when it come down to my departure time, even when it come time to die, he said, he delivered me from that too. Everything that they went through in the wilderness, God brought them through everything, every place, every person, every situation. He brought them through it.
Yes.
And Paul comes down to the end, and all that he had faced from the time he got saved last night, he says, God brought me through it all. The problems that they faced, here's what's amazing in Numbers 33. You can take all the places that are mentioned that they stopped and just find the meaning of the word of where they stopped. They stopped in Midcah. The word means sweet. That they had a sweet time with men. They stopped at Masoreth, which means bonds and fetters. They stopped at Hor Hagidgal, mountains. They stopped at Jotbatha, pleasant. They stopped at Ezon Geber, backbone. They stopped at Marah, bitter. And so here they come through this journey, and it's sweet, then it's bondage, then it's fetters, then it's mountains to climb over, then it's pleasant, then it's backbone, then it's bitter. But he brought them through every bit of it. They didn't stay in any situation forever. He just kept moving them on. And there's no time to tell of all the persecutions that they faced. Prayers that they prayed, the pain that they endured, all the provisions that God provided for them. Here's what Moses said when he got ready to send them over. He wasn't going over, he was fixing to send them over. And he said, we went through that great, terrible wilderness. 40 years, he said, we went through it. We're going to say the same thing, Wednesday.
Yeah.
We went through this terrible world.
Yeah.
Sometimes pleasant, sometimes bondage, sometimes sweet, sometimes mouth, sometimes backbone, sometimes bitter. But we got through it. God watched over them every step of the way. And we get in those situations, no water, bitter water, plenty of water, and God watches over us. I saw this story. And I read it, and I said, I can't believe that. So what I did, I dug into the archives. I went and dug out March the 1st, 1950. I dug this story out to make sure that I wasn't exaggerating a bit of it, and what I read wasn't exaggerating. But there was a church a church called Westside Baptist Church in Beatrice, Nebraska. March 1st, 1950. Choir practice, 7:30. They've been meeting now for 15 years. 15 members had been meeting for choir practice. They always showed up at 7:15. This particular day, a natural gas leak sprung in the basement of the church. At 7:25, it blew the church all to pieces, completely destroyed it. It blew down the radio tower in the city of Beatrice. It shattered windows from a mile away, and the power was just blown out for the whole city. Mrs. Paul was the church director. She was always early. But she was late this day because she was trying to wake up her sleeping daughter, who was a church creator. So she was running late that day. LaDonna Vandergrift was a high school sophomore. She was trying to finish her geometry work, her geometry homebook, her homework, and she was late getting to the church. Rowena Estes and her sister Sadie, their car wouldn't start. Mrs. Schuster was delayed at her mother's house because the heater had gone out and the house was cold. Herb Kemp was in a hurry to finish a very important letter that he wanted to get finished. Joyce Black was on a cold night. She was sitting by the fire. She said, "I want to wait a little longer because it sure is cold outside." Harry Aul's wife was out of town and he was trying to feed his boys and he was running late. Lucille Jones and Dorothy Wood were high school girls that were listening to a radio play and they just had to hear the end of it. So they ran late. Pastor Kelpel and his wife, their watch stopped. Marilyn Ruth spilled something on her dress and she had to wash it and iron it. All 15 church members were late. What do you call that? They all were there for 15 years. They all were there at 7:15. And it made national headlines. Every church member was delayed, and they all survived. The current pastor's name is John Palmquist, and still to this day, since 1950, on March the 1st, they still have a celebration and an anniversary, and all the members that survived there that day, they all sing and give praises to God.
Oh, glory.
That's not providence. I wonder what's not.
Amen.
God watches over us.
Amen.
I told you the story of Richard Harris. I tell you the story of my wife. God knows where we've been. God knows where we're at. God knows what we're going through. God knows how long to leave us in it. God knows where we're going. God knows how to deliver us. There ain't nothing left to do but just sing. God knows.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing we go through that God
Hallelujah.
Does not know.
Praise the Lord.
Glory, glory.
No matter what, pain. Piano player, would you come? Believing in divine providence is a great comfort. God knows exactly what we're at, what we're going through. He goes ahead.